just an old run-of-the-mill Wednesday. Calendar's full of
Wednesday.
That is some strong coffee.
Wake up. Come on.
Wake up!
Wake the kids. Phone the neighbors.
Her Majesty awakes.
As much as you can, please minimize your obscenities.
Under all the circumstances, I disagree.
You people are crazy.
I was once called the worst audience participant Cirque du Soleil ever had.
Suppose we go on to the next subject.
Is everyone in the control room ready?
Come on. It's showtime.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
It is it's Wednesday morning, and it's kind of a little bit cloudy out there, but it's going to be a nice day. Yesterday was an unbelievable day. Did anybody?
Yeah, you know.
What?
You can't complain
about yesterday.
I sure can. I reserve the right to complain. It went from, I turned the heat on Monday because it was freezing in my house. Last night, I couldn't sleep, and neither could Lucy. I'm just saying, weather, please, with
Make
the swing.
Mind. Yeah,
but it's just this. I just need an ease into like that chafing weather.
Hey, you know, when we don't really have a spring, you know we're not going to ease into anything.
It's
going to
very
hit.
Hard for people. There's just, it's like you. I was wearing a fisherman sweater on my deck on Monday. And yesterday I was wearing shorts. Trust me, I liked the fisherman sweater a whole lot better. And so did the people around me.
Okay, did you see how bright the moon was last night?
Whoa, yeah.
Unbelievable. I thought I'd left outside lights on or something like that. Okay.
Some people blame ambient, some blame the full moon.
I know. You just never know what's going to happen. Well, that was a pretty interesting day for Roseanne yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, sure was. But, That's the way it works.
You know, I really feel sorry for it. And we'll cover all this morning. I feel sorry for the other people who lost their jobs. I mean, the damage is widespread.
It was the first work Becky had in years.
Oh, I know.
I
think that a lot of them will be fine and had other jobs, but some of them, the crew, I feel bad for.
The crew, I mean, a lot of people are going to be affected by this whole thing. So we got that coming up for you. We'll cover all that in the dirty laundry this morning here.
It's particularly filthy today. Thanks, Roseanne.
Yes, there's quite a bit out there. We also have an update on the 30-year-old unemployed guy who won't move out of his parents' house. We got that update for you this morning here. Yeah, let me see. Here's your question for the day. What is the longest-running show in the history of television in America? Give that
or
some
what
thought.
Seems to be.
Wow.
Okay.
Good
the great new invention that they think, it's not a new invention, it's a new discovery. They're thinking about marketing cockroach milk. Have you heard
you
about this?
Oh, you know what? I heard that.
This
I was watching Andy
unbelievable.
Cohen.
Unbelievable.
It must be so tough to milk.
That's you had a really short stool, right. And you got to do it in the dark because if you flip the light on, they'll take off.
Scatter, right.
Okay. The Department of Obvious report from Hawaii coming up this morning. All of this right here on the Lauren Wally Morning Report. Plus, we got Win a Grand in 60 seconds and 10 minutes.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. It's time to play Win a Grand in 60 Seconds. Our player is on the line right now. Her name is Eileen Shields. She's from Carver, Massachusetts. Good morning, Eileen. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing great as well. Thank you. So, you're from Carver, Massachusetts.
Correct.
Tell me, you ever sneak out at night and pee in the cranberry bogs?
No, I haven't done that.
Thank you so much.
I'm just asking for a friend. So, here's the deal. You've listened to Win a Grand in 60 Seconds on the radio. Many times, and you're saying, like, I can do that. That sounds pretty simple, right?
Okay.
Okay. But this is the test, because now you got to do it yourself on the radio. Okay, this is where, the tough get going. The going gets tough, you know. This is where the rubber meets the road, Eileen.
Wow.
LBF is going to ask you 10 questions within 60 seconds. You'll hear the timer in the background ticking away. If you can answer all 10 of those correctly before the timer ends, we give you $1,000 in cash. If you come to one you don't know, say pass, move on. You got time left at the end. We let you come back and pick them up. Are you ready to play?
Okay.
Okay, you got this.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
If you freeze water, what do you get?
Ice.
Things fall when you drop them because of what?
Gravity.
What color are the stars on the United States of America's flag?
White.
Who played Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
Who recorded the album The Dark Side of the Moon?
Bigfoot.
What is the postal?
Pink Floyd.
What is the postal abbreviation for Maine?
M A.
What is
Emmy.
All?
Emmy.
What is allspice alternatively known as?
Pass.
In The Simpsons, what's the name of the beer served in Springfield?
Oh. Schlitz?
Emerald is the birthstone for which month?
What is it? Oh, May.
What is the ballet term for a 360-degree turn?
Circle?
We're strong candidates.
Okay. Not bad.
I liked your backtracking. It was very energetic.
Yeah, you came back and picked two up.
Yeah.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right?
This was good. You know what? You weren't afraid to go back and be like, no, that's wrong right before the answer. All right. Who played Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind? I know you know this. Vivien Leigh. Okay. The other pass was, what is allspice alternatively known as? Pimento. Duff is the name of the beer served in Springfield. And a pirouette is a ballet term for a 360-degree turn.
So, oh, I didn't hear the ballet.
Yeah, okay. This means that
I thought you said ballet.
Oh, valet?
Oh, I
like
see.
Like valet in car?
Yes, I'm like, well, they might do a circle.
Okay. All right. Well, your answer makes more sense now.
Well, we got a it finally does. We got a consolation prize for you. A pair of tickets to see Daryl Hall and John Oates, June 7th, Xfinity Center. Tickets are on sale now. Visit LiveNation.com. And anybody else, if you think you've got what it takes, log on to WRR.com, and you could be playing next. Hey, Eileen, have a great day. Yeah. Thanks for playing. Enjoy the concert, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, at 8:40 this morning, we're going to be talking with Bill the Spaceman Lee. Bill the Spaceman Lee pitched at Fenway Park over the weekend. And we're going to get the whole story for you right here at WROR.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, everybody, it's time for your 620 Men for Maine. Today's Men for Maine 620 is an email request of Men for Maine. And this email is from Nick. Says, good morning, everybody. Today is my 31st birthday, and I was wondering if I could request the 620 Men from Maine episode, the one where there's trouble in the outhouse. I've been listening to your morning show since I was 15 years old. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Nick. Nick, I'm sorry that we've done this to you.
I know. 31. Ruined.
Okay. So,
you mean sick Nick.
Sick Nick. Here you go. Here's your requested Men from Maine episode.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed installment begins, Effie tells Ephus there's a problem in the outhouse, and she wants him to take a look.
Say, Ephus, there's a problem in the outhouse, and I want you to take a look.
Okay, I'll take a look, Effie. Oh, I don't see a problem.
Well, you gotta stick your head in the hole to see the problem.
Oh, okay. I'll take a closer look. Oof. No, I still don't see a problem down here.
Well, you gotta stand up real fast to really see the problem.
Okay.
Oh! Well, what's the matter, Ephus?
Well, when I stood up, that crack in the seat pulled my whiskers out.
Hurts, don't it?
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. This is the Lauren and Wally Show.
So, this was a pretty big deal yesterday because Starbucks closed down every Starbucks in America.
8,000 of them? More than 8,000? Yeah.
That's just on one corner.
Yeah, right.
You know, because they wanted to do that racial sensitivity thing because of the whole thing that happened in Philadelphia and all that sort of thing. And so people were wondering, you know, what really went on these meetings because they were closed doors. But the amazing thing is the gang from TV.
The
Daily Show got in there. And their cameras were there for the whole thing and the microphones were there. It's pretty amazing, wasn't it?
Yep, it really was. Here it is.
Hello, Starbucks employees. I'm here today because you f***ed up. That's fine. After today's training, those racial insensitivities will be a thing of the past. But first, a word to the black employees watching. You good, my dude. Take off. Y'all ain't gotta watch none of this. Now, for everyone else, we'll be reviewing how to handle some common scenarios that occur inside of a Starbucks. When an African-American customer enters your store, there's a right way to greet him and a wrong way. Here's some of the wrong ways.
Yo, what's up, man? Can I get the ice cold?
He wearing a bandana. Don't kill me. Just take the money.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We are out of grape drink.
Now, here's the correct way to greet a black person in your store. Hello. Let's move on.
Thank God.
That's funny. And remember, you can now pee in all of the Starbucks, even if you don't buy anything.
Making your way in the world today. Sometimes you drink a lot. Your bladder's full and you are worried the bathroom door is locked. Hey, Starbucks, what do you say? Sometimes you need to go where they let everyone urinate. Even if you don't buy their lattes, you want to go where you can pee and hang out in the rain. You want to go where they mess up your name. You want to go where baristas know that wetting your pants isn't fun. When you gotta go, Starbucks is number one.
Nice touch.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
Okay, so this is a big deal tonight. The NBA Finals start down on the West Coast. Unfortunately, we're not going to be involved in this whole thing here. But a big marketing firm did a huge study, and they wanted to know, what are the best cities in America for basketball fans? And they asked thousands and thousands of basketball fans. Where do you think we finished? Huh? Like, what do you think?
Number one, right?
Yeah.
I would say top three.
You think top three? Okay. We're going to tell you in just a few minutes when Hank gets ready to do your sports.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Now the old big shot. Okay, so tonight is the start of the NBA Championship Series. It's going to be happening, taking place, starting on the West Coast tonight.
I know who's playing.
Very good. Okay, who's playing?
The Cavaliers and the Warriors.
That's very good.
Tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, today's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
Yeah,
short weeks mess everybody up.
Okay, it's starting tomorrow night. Unfortunately, we're not going to be part of it. But they did a huge study, a marketing firm did a huge study about the best cities in America, cities and towns, because they did like 300 cities and towns. Because, you know, some small cities and small towns also have great basketball programs and college ranks. And they said, what are the best cities and towns in America for basketball?
So we're talking both college and high school. Both. Like, okay.
And so have you thought about this? Boston, where do you think Boston ranked out of the entire country?
We have a good basketball team.
Yeah, we do.
Long history.
No, not so much. They're okay. They're okay.
Hank, you said top three, right?
I said top three. My top three will be, in not in any specific order, New York, Chicago, Boston.
That's interesting.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go L.A., Orlando.
The Orlando Blooms.
Yes, the Orlando Blooms, and Boston.
Okay, and Brian.
Boston, number one.
Yep. Just no question in your mind.
That's right.
Okay. Actually, you guys are all right in the ballpark. It goes like this. The top
three. That's baseball, Lauren.
Los Angeles, Boston, and then Oakland.
Look at me.
Which
I
is
said
like
LA.
You know, like the Oakland, San Francisco area, like Golden State area there. And the only reason LA beat out Boston is because this goes back to the history of the game too. And if you remember back, like the 60s and the 70s, UCLA won all of those championships.
Lou Alcindor, John Wooden.
Exactly. And then, you know, of course, the Lakers. Plus, LA has two NBA teams. But Boston finished a very close second. So nothing to hang our heads about on that.
And nice.
Speaking of sports, the Hankster is here. We got an update on what happened yesterday.
You know, the Red Sox catchers have had less offensive production than just about any other team in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
Well, that changed because Sandy Leon came out of his shell last night.
2-2. That one ripped toward the alley. There's nobody out there. It's carrying back and gone.
Sandy Leon crushes one to the bullpen.
Yeah, the Sox switch-hitting catcher added two doubles, knocked in three runs, and the Sox beat the Blue Jays 8-3 at Fenway. Xander Bogaerts, he blasted a home run, his eighth, right over the monster. Rick Porcello, 6 2/3 for his seventh win, and Craig Kimbrell got the save. Mookie Betts missed his third straight game with tightness in his left side. Sox have won 8 of 10. They're two games ahead of the Yankees. Series wraps up this afternoon. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Jays' Sam Gavilio. Patriots resume organized team activities today in Foxborough. And Tom and Gronk, if you're listening, the three-day mandatory minicamp begins June 5th. Game 2, Stanley Cup Finals tonight in Las Vegas. The Golden Knights leading the Capitals 1-0. Game 1 of the NBA Finals set for tomorrow night in Oakland. The Warriors and the Cavaliers meet for the fourth straight year. The Warriors have won 2 of the 3 meetings. Cleveland's Kevin Love still questionable because of a possible concussion. And sports brought to you by Sullivan Tire.
Okay, the big Brian Bellbuster for the morning is coming up next today. It's all about a patio.
That's right, Dave's patio. And his buddy Ryan is sick of hearing him brag about the patio he's building. So I'm going to call Dave for his birthday to let him know, well, he might not have enough space for the patio.
If they want to do an eminent domain, they can go on the other side. Why do they have to come on my side?
Well, they've surveyed the whole area and your yard. Because of the way the sun hits your backyard, it's really perfect for growing the cannabis. And so, unfortunately, that your yard has been the one identified as being the perfect spot for the field.
You know, I really feel like the state has been, you know, indulging on some agriculture of their own.
What the f*** is that?
The Lauren and Wally Show.
Holy
105.7 WROR.
Hello?
The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
All right, it's Dave's birthday. And Dave's buddy Ryan gave us a call because Dave has been doing nothing but bragging about his new patio that he's building.
Oh, yeah.
So we thought we'd mess with him for his birthday.
Hello.
Hi, trying to reach Dave.
Yeah, hey, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Brad Hamilton from the assessor's office down at Town Hall.
Hey, what can I do for you?
We heard that you did some work. You know, you pulled some permits for a nice patio out back there.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a great patio. Canopy that we're putting back there, a fire pit, you know, bar set.
Wow.
They even built out there's even a plan for the grill to, you know, be built out within the brick. It's going to be really nice.
Wow, that sounds
really, really,
really
nice.
Really extensive.
Yeah.
So, Dave, have you seen any of the notices around town or gotten anything in the mail from us that you've opened up?
No, I haven't seen any notices or
anything with the town seal on it.
Not at all. Why? What's going on? Talk to me.
Yeah, your property abuts the State University right behind you there.
Yeah.
They actually have a new program coming in for the new school year, and they're going to have to take some of your land by eminent domain.
Listen, come on.
This has been posted at town hall, and we've sent notices out. It was
you
didn't come to any of the town meetings?
Well, you know, I work, you know, trying to pay for this patio for my wife.
Well, yeah. So what the university is going to be doing, actually, there's a new course. Have you heard, you know, all the new marijuana laws and everything? There's actually a new course they're teaching on cannabis agriculture, and they're going to be making that into a field right there behind your house for growing some of these imported plants that they're bringing in.
You know, I really feel like the state has been, you know, indulging on some agriculture of their own, you know? If they want to do an eminent domain, they can go on the other side. Why do they have to come on my side?
Well, they've surveyed the whole area and your yard. Because of the way the sun hits your backyard, it's really perfect for growing the cannabis. And so, unfortunately, that your yard has been the one identified as being the perfect spot for the field.
You know, we've spent over $100,000.
Well, you're going to get $50,000 from the state for the land. You think $100,000 is a lot. Boy, wait till you get a real estate attorney's bill.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I just ordered a nice set of bistro seats, you know, a nice bar set for that area back there.
It might look good in the front yard.
No, it's going to look good right there where it's at.
If you get a very thick envelope in the mail from our lawyers, you'll want to open that.
I'm not going to get a thick envelope, and I'm not opening it.
Oh, no, you will.
Send anything to my house, sir. Brad, what's your address? I'll give the university your address, sir.
Brad Hamilton right here at Town Hall. Right in the assessor's office.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll send the contractors over to town hall. How about that?
We don't really need a patio.
No, not those. I'm sending the.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us the patio. I thought that would be a really nice donation since you already paid for it. You could put a nice patio on town hall. We'd let you come down and enjoy it. I mean, that'd be great. Maybe you could have cookouts right at town hall on your patio. That's a great idea,
really,
Dave.
I'm starting to make my blood boil here today.
You know, you've really hit on something. I think the whole town can enjoy the patio right there at the side of town hall. Great idea. You're really thinking outside the box, Dave. You're taking this well.
You know what? Where can we meet? I want to meet you right now because you need to see me face to face, and you calling me telling me that you're going to be coming and ripping up my backyard to put some weed back there, it's not going to fly. All right? So,
you know what we could do? Maybe we could meet up with you and me and your buddy Ryan.
What?
Hey, Dave, do you ever listen to the Lorne and Wally show on WROR?
You guys.
This year is a Brian Bell buster, Dave.
A Bell buster my ass.
Your buddy Ryan was just kind of sick of you bragging about this patio and wanted to bust your stones a little bit for your birthday.
I'm going to get Ryan. You tell Ryan. Tell Ryan I'm going to come and rip up his patio.
The good news is you can get Ryan back on his birthday, okay?
You know what? I think I will.
And good luck with the patio, okay? That's a nice patio. We expect to come over for the first burger, okay?
Listen, you're invited over. I got a nice steak over here for you.
All right.
For you and the whole crew.
Save some of the weed.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lorne and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Well, let me tell you, it didn't take
Boston's
long.
Greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. The Lorne and Wally Show. Sponsored by Horizon Interiors. Here's Lauren, LBF, Hank, and Brian.
It started getting ugly in here really, really quickly.
Yeah, I'll tell you how quickly.
Really quickly. And it's all about summer footwear fashion in particular. Crocs more than anything else.
Well, dubious fashion choices when it comes to summer footwear, especially, you know, especially by men and especially by this man, Hank Morse, who insists that Crocs are viable footwear option for a man not working in a kitchen or his yard.
And I'll tell you why. They're waterproof, long-lasting, easy to clean. They're sporty, come in multiple different colors. They're easy to get on and off.
Okay.
What's not to love about the Crocs?
Time
They're
out.
Hideous.
Time out. They are not sporty. Everything else you said is legit.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I will give you all those things, that they are washable and all that. But they are not sporty.
Yeah, but
have you ever tried to run away from somebody wearing Crocs?
No, you take them off. That's the thing.
Okay, well then you know what?
And throw them at them.
Here's the other thing.
Have you ever seen them to them?
You ever seen a pair of Uggs? They're ugly. Hugely popular because they're so functional. It's the functionality.
You know what? I feel like you're wrong there too. Uggs are warm, but they're very bad for your arches. They're so functionality wise, you can't. And again, running in them is a bad idea.
But they're wildly popular, and people love them.
Well,
just
yes.
Because something is wildly popular doesn't mean that it's right. Acid wash jeans, pegging your pants, Giselles, things like that.
Well, I want to know
nothing from history.
Most guys, like Brian. I mean, you're pretty trendy. You shop at Banana Republic. You get nice clothes. Who picks out your footwear? Do you buy it, or did your wife buy it?
I do.
He buys it.
You buy it on your own?
Yeah, Dave buys it.
I go to the Vans store.
Well,
yeah.
I thought
excuse
thousands
me.
And thousands.
Does this mean
of other
somebody
people?
Else is buying your shoes for you, Hank?
No, there's no way that Pam would ever buy his shoes for him.
No, because I buy what I like. But some people, like their spouse, doesn't like what they look like, their style, so they'll buy their footwear for them. Like I have Sperry's on right now. My wife bought me the Sperry's right here.
Because they look normal.
It's because she's trying to make you wear something other than Crocs.
Shoes.
And I just go for also comfort. Comfort is important. But also important, not having my feet look like a rubber duck.
But you know what? Birkenstocks are pretty hideous too, everybody.
They show too much foot.
Mandels show too much foot. There are some egregious fashion choices. I don't want to pile on Hank here because Crocs are not the only offensive footwear. They're just the most offensive footwear.
Yeah. You know what? Crocs are so popular that celebrities are taking to wearing Crocs.
Who?
Royalty wears Crocs.
Really?
Kate Middleton, Croc wearer.
Where?
Really?
Where did she wear Crocs?
On her feet.
No,
John Cena, Croc wearer. Jack Nicholson, Croc wearer.
Jack Nicholson is an icon of fashion.
That's
Have
just because he can't tie his shoes.
Have you seen him at a Lakers game? He's like his shirts. Exactly. His shirts are all pulled apart.
Yeah.
He looks like he's disheveled is the nicest way I can.
Did I mention Kate Middleton wears Crocs?
And
okay,
Crocs,
what is she? Did she like? Do you think she does like heavy duty gardening at the castle?
I think she was doing something that had to do with outside stuff and comfort. And had nothing to do with anything to do with fashion.
617-931-1057. I happen to think they're absolutely fine. And I'm secure enough in my manhood and my own self that I continue to wear the Crocs, even though I have the yellow pair.
Is it security or is it just giving up.
Giving up. Well,
well, I frankly think the whole thing is a crock.
Well,
okay, so listen, ladies and gentlemen, stand by, because coming up next, right here on the Lorna Whitey Morning Show, we have your 720 man from Maine. Effie is taking a crosstown bus when she develops an embarrassing gas situation.
Oh, great.
Stand by, okay? 105.7 WRR. Good morning. This is the Lorna Whitey Morning Radio Program. Love is a battlefield. This is Pat Benatar. And join us tomorrow when Hank comes in a pair of Speedos.
Oh.
Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, the nation is responding. The Croc Report is coming up in just moments. But first, it's time for your 720 Men from Maine, everybody. Here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Effie is riding on a bus seated next to a stranger, and she's experiencing a difficult gas problem when unexpectedly she breaks one. The bus falls silent, and Effie tries desperately to come up with something to say to the stranger to break the tension, and we hear...
Excuse me, do you have a bus transfer?
I know, but the next time we pass a tree, I'll try to grab a handful of leaves for you.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorna Whitey Morning Show.
Morning Wally. Mornings, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, so the nation weighs in on Crocs this morning. This is Pam from Franklin. Hi, Pam. How you doing today?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you this morning?
Great, thank you. What's your take on Crocs?
I own a pair, but I only wear them when I'm taking the dog out.
Right.
Excellent use. Very easy to spray off poop.
That's right. You can hose them down afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah. Grass is wet. You don't want to wreck the good shoes. And
right.
Yeah, if you step in it, you just... hose them off.
Very sporty. You can wear them in public, see?
Again, not sporty. But
thank
it's okay
you
if you want to hang on to that.
Yeah. She proved my point.
Have a great day.
Well,
thanks
no,
a lot.
No, walking the dog consists of going into the backyard.
So oh,
not actually public.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Really, his idea of sporty is kind of like my idea of sporty.
There you go.
Okay, we got that. Lori's on the line here. So what do you say, Lori?
I just have to say they're horrible.
Wow, okay.
Right?
I also want to clarify, I never wore jellies either.
Those were the worst, okay? Remember, and they would cut up your feet so bad.
Hot girls wore jellies.
Jellies. Okay, hey, thanks a lot. Have a great one. Chicky's online. Hey, Chicky, how you doing this morning? What do you say?
Well, if you're out there, you know, if you're on your yard, it's all right. But if you're out there looking for something, you're not going to get nothing. You're going home with nothing. Imagine a man walking in front of you with a strappy heel, with that Pecorino Romano heel. Pretty.
I've seen it. It's Hank walking in front of me.
Oh. Thank you. Have a great day.
Chicky, that's not right.
Okay. Hey, listen, we're covering everything.
Go to WROR.com. You'll find out why they're so cool.
That's right. Hank has got the entire thing on there. Okay, we're going to cover a lot of stuff for you. We're going to cover the Roseanne thing that's coming up in Dirty Laundry 745. But first, another thing with summer coming, high school graduations. Here they come. What is the appropriate gift for a high school graduate?
We're talking. How much?
You know what they want. They want money. They want cash. How much is just the right amount, and how much is, like, too much and not enough? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the year once again. The kids will become screaming down the aisle, the caps and the gowns, and you're perplexed. What is the appropriate graduation gift for a high school senior? So, you got an idea? What do you think?
I have no idea because, you know, it's been a while. You know, so what do you give? And is it different for high school graduation, college graduation? If you're an aunt, you're a friend. You know, like a grandparent, just a neighbor who, like, hardly knows the person.
Hank, you're closer to it than we are.
Yeah, my kids graduated a couple years ago. So I would say if it's a neighbor or, you know, one of your kids' friends, like $100.
A neighbor or kids' friends?
Yeah, $100. If it's a close friend,
maybe like 150 or 200, like somebody, it's like you're another couple's best friend's kids.
High school?
150 to 200.
Somebody in this room makes a lot of money.
No, it's like going to a wedding, really.
Hey, no, it's not.
Some people
for high school graduation,
be,
yeah, it is.
Absolutely not.
They're
like
looking
going
forward
to
college, and college is expensive.
I don't think it's anything like that.
No, a wedding costs a fortune, and you kind of like go for like what you pay for the plate, right? If you, I mean, unless you're a relative,
you,
in which
you know,
case.
You mean at a wedding, you give them something for making some kind of a, you know, a commitment that could be horrible.
Yeah. I know. You're actually paying for the divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you think about it, graduating high school is usually about a 13-year commitment. Most marriages don't last that long.
Well, maybe you're right on that, too. I don't know, man. That's
well,
like that's a
Hank,
lot of money.
You're a little bit off.
Going to be a lot of disappointed people in my neighborhood.
There already are.
Yeah, that's probably very true. Okay.
They say grandparents, like, this is really low. So grandparents, aunts, and uncles should give between $20 and $50. More distant relatives, family friends can give as little as $15 all the way up to $50. Nah. Now, I disagree with that, but somewhere in the middle, like especially if you're going to a lot. So here's the thing, the reason I disagree, Hank, is because if you're going to weddings, you're not going to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 weddings in a season. Usually it's like four or five if you've got a busy season and you're young. But when you're going to a graduation, especially if it's like your kid is in high school, then you're going to at least, you know, I mean.
You might as well just pull take a wad of hundreds
yeah,
and start
exactly,
passing
and just
them
pass
out.
Them out. Like,
I mean, you're going to between, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, you're not going to a dozen.
I think some people are going to a dozen. I don't know. Yeah.
Like maybe I just don't have many friends.
So did you have graduation parties at your
house? I had a graduation party for my daughter.
Okay,
The 3 years ago.
Yep. Okay.
And I, you know,
clean up.
Maybe
cleaned up pretty good.
You know, she did buy a used car after.
he had a $50 minimum.
Yeah.
To get
I mean, maybe
door.
That's just the people.
We got Sean's on the line. Sean, let me see your Plymouth. Hey, Sean, how you doing today?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks. Now, are you an expert on the gift giving here?
Well, it's a real simple formula here. So you start with the parents. They give nothing. They brought the kid into this world. You gave him the graduation party, that's that. Grandparents, you got to do 500 easily. If they want these kids to see them after they graduate, they have new friends, they have girlfriends.
Okay, now wait a minute. So you're
saying
grandparents
for visits.
Are going to bribe. This is a bribery payment for the grandparents.
Remember, these kids, they're 18, they're on the way to college, they're not going to see them as much anymore.
Oh, my God, I wouldn't
want
to see my grandkid if it took $500 to pay him off.
They can't lease them out anymore. Those weekends spending with Grampy and Grandma are gone.
Wow. What about fixed income? What if they're like little old grandparents who can't turn on the heat?
They've had 18 years to plan for this.
Wow. Okay.
You're tough, Sean.
What about it, like aunts and uncles?
Uncles and aunts, you got to do at least 200.
Wow.
Okay. Second, if it's like an aunt from another state.
Second, third cousins and neighbors, you got to do 100.
You must live on the good side of Plymouth.
Yeah, we're on the central location.
Okay. Hey, LBF, how much do you give for graduation?
I don't know yet. I haven't been to a graduation party yet.
Oh, come on.
This is my summer.
LBF, invite me to your graduation party.
All right,
only
no
if you're
problem.
The grandparent.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Sean, thanks for the call and helping us out this morning, okay?
Right.
Okay. Okay, everybody, let's get right straight to it because this absolutely positively blew me. I think it blew everybody away yesterday when this happened. Don't you think so?
I do. I definitely do.
Listen closely.
Roseanne the reboot canceled because Roseanne can't keep her Twitter fingers quiet. She posted a racist tweet on Memorial Day, and Twitter reacted very quickly, and ABC reacted even quicker. They canceled the show yesterday, and it was surprising to me because. Of the swiftness of canceling the show, because of the success of the show. I mean, one point, 26 million viewers. It was the most watched show of this particular season. People were curious and excited about it. Some people were excited. Some people were curious. Like, where are they going to take this? But it's over. I mean, she said she was leaving Twitter. She's back on Twitter, by the way. She, Roseanne's Twitter statement, this is what people said. Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values, and we've decided to cancel her show. That's what ABC yesterday.
I was really surprised.
The Disney
really
owns ABC.
Yeah.
And he, the guy who runs that, Bob Iger, said, he said there was only one thing to do here, and it was the right thing. And, you know, the thing is, here's my problem a little bit with this, is that in 2013, Roseanne also tweeted something racist, and ABC ignored it. And she had been tweeting really horrible things lately, and they kind of ignored it. And so it was like, well, where's the line?
Where's
the line? And the 2013 tweet is very similar.
Always follow
to this
the
particular
money.
One.
Always follow the money.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, so that was pretty swift action for a major network to do something like that for a show that was going to be that big and make that much money.
Yeah. And was renewed.
Yes. But the thing is, I think they looked down the road and saw, oh my God, that tweet is going to that's going to cause enormous problems with our sponsors, and the sponsors are going to start calling and say, cancel it out, man. Cancel me out.
Yeah.
And then the residual effect, the collateral damage with the people is going to hurt them too.
It's wrong, and she should not have a show on television. The end. And ABC did it. Now, Roseanne's also been dropped by her agency. They said her tweet was disgraceful and unacceptable. ABC has scrapped its Emmy promotion on behalf of the show. Roseanne is disappearing everywhere on television. Hulu has dropped it, and the Paramount Network has dropped it. TV Land and CMT. Now,
I feel really bad for Becky.
I know. So a lot
it's
of people.
The first gig she got
since the last gig.
Yeah.
Now I agree with ABC canceling this reboot because the Roseanne of today is I think a different person than the Roseanne. I mean, not you know. I think she's. Racist person versus an offensive person back in the day, you know, to certain people.
Yep.
Now, the people who worked on her show and got residuals from the first show, I feel a little bad. They're not going to be able to get that extra.
Because everybody's canceling those, too, the replays of the old shows.
I don't feel bad for the people who star in the new Roseanne because they knew what they were getting in bed with.
Yeah, well, you know, Cosby's back in rotation on the networks, on replays, reruns everywhere. So
Lisa Bonet will be getting a little bit of residuals.
Hopefully, yes. But
yeah, I do feel bad for the crew. You know, they're just regular people who just sign up for a show, and that now they're out of a job, and that's a hustle, I guess. So that's too bad. Now, Roseanne, it's damage control. Let's move on to the damage control. Roseanne Barr has said that she was just ambient tweeting. Now, apparently that's a thing. I thought that ambient eating was a thing. I heard about that. I've never heard about that. So anyway, she apologized. She's going to apparently discuss the incident further on a podcast on Friday, and that's the end of that. So there you go.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
It's time to play. So let's welcome Christine Passmore from Melrose, Massachusetts to the morning show.
Melrose!
Okay, she is a project manager. Good morning, Christine. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Oh, so, you sound awake and happy.
Rare opportunity to play. Win a grand in 60 seconds. You feel like you can handle this?
I hope so.
You can handle this.
Now, here's what's going to happen to you, Christine.
You're a project manager.
LBF is going to ask you questions, 10 of them, as a matter of fact, in the time span of 1 minute. You're going to hear the ticking of the clock in the background. You can say pass at any time if you're not sure. You know, basically, you got like 6 seconds on each one of these things to get them all in. So don't waste any time. And then if you got time left over at the end, you come back on anything you passed on. You get all 10 right in 60 seconds. We give you $1,000. It's that simple. So are you prepared to play?
I'm prepared.
Okay.
LB, are you prepared with the questions?
I'm prepared.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Name the second letter of the alphabet.
B.
Name one of the teams playing in this year's NBA Finals.
The Warriors.
What is the world's biggest island?
Pass.
Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote the book series that inspired this 80s TV show.
Pass.
In which film did Humphrey Bogart say we'll always have Paris?
Pass.
Who was the Spanish artist famous for co-founding the Cubist movement?
Pass.
Who was Henry the Henry VIII's first wife?
Elizabeth.
In the Carpenter song, Rainy Days and What Got Them Down?
Pass.
According to the advertisement slogan, Choosy Moms Choose This Kind of Peanut Butter?
Jiffy.
These rubber shoes are popular among chefs, gardeners, and people with no fashion sense.
Okay, well, they kind of took a bite out of you there with the passes, so let's go ahead and review.
Yeah, this was a hard one. This was history heavy. Okay, so the world's biggest island is Greenland. The Laura Ingalls Wilder book series that inspired the 80s TV show Little House on the Prairie.
I
know,
sure.
Right? Yep. And what Humphrey Bogart said, we'll always have Paris and Casablanca. Pablo Picasso was the Spanish artist famous for co-founding the Cubist movement. Catherine of Aragon was Henry VIII's first wife. Rainy Days and Mondays get the Carpenters down. But okay. You did get Choosy Moms Choose Jiff, and that's good. Jiffy, but you know, I know what you mean.
Close enough.
In okay. A jiffy. But you know what? For a last-minute entry, you were calm, you were strong, you passed when you didn't know. You have potential, kid.
Okay. Christine, we have a consolation prize for you as well. Yeah, right. A pair of tickets to see Daryl Hall and John Oates June 7th at the Xfinity Center. That's good.
That's amazing.
That's good. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Plus, to go along with that, we think you have dirty oil. So we're going to give you a free oil change of VIP tires and service redeemable at any location in Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Visit VIPauto.com. So enjoy those prizes. Thank you very much for playing the game and have yourself a fabulous day today, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Coming up next, right here on the Lorna Waddy Morning Show.
Why is the Toblerone Tunnel trending?
Really? And is it bigger than the Callahan?
The Lorne and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
105.7 WROR. Good morning, this is the Lorne and Wally Morning Radio Program, and this is the stuff you need to know today. For example, why is the tunnel trending right now?
Not the Callahan Tunnel.
Not the town, no.
The Toblerone Tunnel. All right, there are summer trends on Instagram, and I like to keep on top of them. It's like thigh brow, thigh cleavage, side boob, all this other stuff.
Wow.
Thigh gap.
Where have you been finding this?
This is on Instagram. Oh. You can follow any celebrity. So this was the thing that I just couldn't believe, and this is it's called the Toblerone Tunnel. All right.
It's a body space.
It's a body space. And they call it the Toblerone Tunnel. And as politely as I can say this, according to The Sun, it's basically the triangular area between a top of a woman's thighs and her bikini bottoms. And a lot of women who are in bikinis and want to take selfies of themselves in bikinis hit this particular look. And then now they're calling it the Toblerone Tunnel. And I just can't even believe.
Where did the word Toblerone come
from? That's because it's the triangular-shaped chocolate box.
Oh.
Anyway, that's where it came from. It's highly filthy. Also, I just think this whole thing with thigh gaps and Toblerone tunnels and the thigh, now the thigh brow. And
it's body obsession.
And it's crazy.
It's for young people,
the
too.
The other thing, yep, too, that's is true. The thigh cleavage, which is when you, can you describe it?
What is it like the old Elle Macpherson Sports Illustrated kind of
bathing suit? Yeah, so basically you hike your bathing suit up to like your almost your waist, each side of them, so that you get this sort of, like, all your thigh is exposed, and then you lean over, and then there's, like, where your thigh creases with your hip. They call it, thigh cleavage.
Thigh cleavage, really.
Hmm. Those are like the French cut bathing suits from the 80s.
I don't get it.
It's what you get. You know, Instagram, it's all about the pictures. So yep. They come up with all these wacky things.
I feel like I'm just doing everybody a favor because somebody's going to mention this in some circle. Heaven forbid it's your kid. Okay. And then you're going to be like, what's that? And as one Twitter user said, the only Toblerone tunnel I know is my throat. Because I'm going to go right down. Those things are delicious, by the way. Have you ever had
really
one?
Good? Yeah,
Toblerone? Okay, good. Have you ever had them? People are afraid of them, but they're really delicious. They're to be eaten, not to be photographed.
I understand. Okay.
And so speaking of candy, What is going on in Hawaii?
There's this whole thing. S'mores.
Yeah. Yeah, so what happened?
Okay, so the National Geological Society administration came out and they said, they warned people, don't try to roast marshmallows on lava flows. It's dangerous. And I'm thinking, well, what kind of an idiot needs that kind of a warning? But apparently, some people have been trying to do this. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come out with this warning.
Yeah, a guy actually asked on Twitter of the U.S. Geological
Society. Really?
Yeah. Said, hey, is that all right? Or they said, no, there's like horrible gases and it's very dangerous. And yeah, that's not safe.
It doesn't smell good, does it?
It's like 1,800 degrees. No, it's...
I mean, just, you know, aesthetically. You know.
I mean, people are getting hit with, like, the splatter.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And the splatter weighs as much as, like, a refrigerator.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's a rock.
Yeah,
it's molten rock.
It's a melted rock.
I know, but, like, when I did the volcano experiment in, like, grade school, it didn't feel that way.
No, different.
What you got to read? Here's just, you know, a little advice to live by. Remember that the center of the Earth from which this is coming is hotter than the surface of the sun.
Oh!
So that kind of gives you an idea of how hot it is.
Plus, some of it turns to glass when it hits the ocean.
That's
true.
Good to know. Thank you.
Okay, good to know. Okay. Things to remember.
Learning so much today.
Okay. Now,
stick with the Toblerone.
Coming up in just moments, we're going to give you an update on the guy who his parents are kicking him out of the house down in New York.
Oh, yes.
The very latest because he went to court and the judge says you got to leave home, but he's still at home. And we'll tell you what the latest is.
Okay.
The Lorne and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for your special Lorne and Wally update on the guy who's 30 years old, still living with his parents, and they tried to kick him out, so they took him to court, and the judge says, you have to leave, and he said he wouldn't leave, he's going to appeal the thing, and he's still living at home, because he went straight home after the judge said he had to leave home. So what's the very latest? Well, interesting things have turned up.
Really?
Yes. They have spoken with his girlfriend.
He has a girlfriend?
Wow.
That's what I said.
Wow.
That's what I said.
Is just...
Okay, now his girlfriend said he's got some issues. And it's one of those issues is their 7-year-old child.
Okay. This is just...
This makes this guy a double loser.
I mean, this
is amazing. Not working, lives in his parents' home, and he's a father?
Yeah. I don't understand this at all.
Wait a minute. Where's the baby live? 7-year-old live? With the girlfriend?
The girlfriend, yeah.
Okay, and then...
At her parents' house?
Don't know. They've kept pretty quiet about that.
So he has a girlfriend. So he has a kid. Fine. She's still his girlfriend?
Well, apparently so.
That is unbelievable.
It is. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, I just thought you needed the update this morning.
That's depressing for every single person out there, right? I mean, this guy has a girlfriend. I'm sorry, right? Like, you're going to go to, like, you know, the graduation parties this weekend. So are you seeing anybody? No. Well, that guy who's living at home, he's seeing somebody.
Oh, my God. I got a guy for you. It's unbelievable.
The Lorne and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.